when verse 14 happened, when his father and his old and his brothers come and join him. He's 39. So what? The scriptures also tell us that his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were born, and it doesn't tell us precisely when, it just tells us they were born during the 7 years of plenty. Watch it. You already see it, don't you, Dave? And I know you do. This means that when the family came down, Manasseh, who is the firstborn, is maximum 8 years old. 8 years old. Huh? And 8 year olds really don't have sons. Are you ready for the next step? Much less grandsons. Uh-oh. Someone's got a stupid footnote in their expensive Bible. And Ephraim is even younger. I mean, the maximum Manasseh can be is 8 years old. See, because Joseph wasn't married until he came out of the prison. Remember? He got the high priest, the Pharaoh gave him the high priest's daughter to wife. And she bore him Manasseh. You know, it takes at least 9 months to get this stuff done. Okay? Which pretty well knocks out a year. All right? And I mean, and that's even if it happens on the honeymoon. All right? Now, Ephraim is, you know, younger. They're not twins. And I can assure you he had neither sons nor grandsons. Point. You see immediately that these people are not alive when Jacob came down to Egypt to join. Therefore, we need another solution other than this cheap, let's go to the Septuagint because we're in trouble. You see, the guy writing the Septuagint that wrote it, the one that we have, was written about 200 A.D. See, he put this in there because he was trying to cover up for the mistake. And in doing that, he invented one. Oh, dear. Right. So, well, then what is the solution? Does everyone, is there anyone in here that is abundantly clear? No one is using the Septuagint. It was Origen. That was Origen. He's the rat. Okay. Now, you can't believe how many books say he was a great father of the church. You know, the man wasn't born again. Now, yes, he was the Origen, all right. All right, now listen. Let me show you. The solution isn't so bad. What we have are 75, okay, that came of his kindred. Keyword, kindred. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, but it means other than what Genesis was talking about. But see, Genesis 46 lets the cat out of the bag. Genesis 46 lets the cat out of the bag. Look. Verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, who came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives. Oh, I think I know now who's included when we use the word kindred that wasn't included in the first tallying. In other words, I know. Now, so the point is, there were 66 people that showed up with Jake. And if we subtract, this is higher mathematics, okay, we have 9 wives of the boys to account for whom to account. Now listen, it's good. You say, wait a minute, there were 12 sons of Jake. Jake had 12. You've only got 9 wives. Ha ha ha. Joseph is not counted. He's already in Egypt, remember? He is not part of the 66. -1 for Joseph. J-O-S-E-P-H. You can tell. Now we have 11 to account for. Genesis chapter 38. Judah's wife died. It's okay if you remember that. And, don't you remember? And his son's wife dressed up like a prostitute. And he slept with her and she got pregnant. Remember? It's good. So, Judah. We don't have to account for his wife because we accounted for her. She dead. Now we have 10 wives to account for. In other words, we're getting close. Now you just have to go on faith. Somebody has lost, one of those boys does not have a wife, yet they've had one because they all have sons in Genesis 46. I think I've got it. I think I can show you who it is. It's most likely Simeon. 46. Those of you that are Genesis 46, it's probably Semi, because, let me see if I can find it. It'd be okay if any of you find the word Simeon before I do. Verse 10. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Funny that his last born is of a Canaanitish woman. In other words, the suggestion is possible there that his wife has died and he's taken a concubine. Okay? You see? No, because it didn't call her a wife. All it said was, see, I mean, we don't even know if he's living with her, you know, whether it was just a fly-by-night or what. You know, all we know. Well, you know, it doesn't say much. It just says she is son of a Canaanitish woman, you know. God really doesn't give much detail on stuff like that. Point is that it was a different situation. All right, let me see. What time is it? See, tonight's the night I've got to get rid of this part where we can get to the story. In other words, listen to me. If I just teach you this chapter and don't show you these things, people are going to constantly bug you about it as time goes on. Footnotes will. Sunday school quarterlies. You may not remember. Listen to me. Let me tell you the exciting thing. Your immortal soul does not hinge on remembering any of that. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad God didn't make it that tough? You know why? Most of you would be in real trouble right now. Incidentally, Jacob's wives weren't there. Okay, they were already dead. He didn't bring his wife, so you don't have that. There, Rachel and Leah are already both dead. If you just happen to still have that finger back at Genesis, don't leave it. Because the finale, and I don't mean the finale in one sense, but a finale in another sense. Here's another one of God's magnificent blunders. And I love it because, as I said, you know, if God makes mistakes, if God errors, if God makes mistakes, he sure can't hold any sins to our account. I mean, he isn't doing so good himself. But if God promised Jeff to keep his word and has preserved it, then I will account to him for my actions as he has said. Okay, that is the issue. See, what I'm saying is, I'm throwing the gauntlet down just as surely as I did that day in the oil business. If this be wrong, then go sin. All right? But I'm not at all nervous about the results. Okay. So that next week we don't have to go through all this apologetics, you know, apologizing for the people that wrote those footnotes. So Jacob, verse 15, so Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. Now watch this. We've got two errors in this verse and the next one. Oh, isn't it dreadful? It says, so Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, or Emor, the father of Sichem. Okay, let me tell you about the two errors. The first one is simply this. You've got your Bible, also a finger back at Genesis. Take a look with me at Genesis 49. All right, here's God's mistake, they tell us. Golly, he almost kept... You know, isn't it funny? Jesus said when he came, there wasn't a single error, not even a jot or a tittle. I'll make sure you all know what a jot and a tittle is. I've shown you once before, but it's been a long time. The Hebrew alphabet, the normal letters, are all approximately the same size. Let's say that's normal size. There is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet called Yod, J-O-D. And in Hebrew, you pronounce a J like a Y. In other words, we pronounce their J like a Y and their D like a T. So to us, that is pronounced, it's Y-O-D, Yod. And we pronounce it J for the Y, and a D like a T, jot. That's why your Bible says jot. We translated it into English. Got me? Got me. That's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's about one-third the size of all the other letters. So Jesus said, now listen. I know it's been 1,500 years since Moses and the law, but not one single jot has been changed. since then to my coming. You say, well, that's not bad, Brother Floyd. Why, what he was saying is, even the smallest letter in the alphabet has been preserved. Not bad, not bad. No, it's much more. When you look at Hebrew, they have little tips, little horns. They were Texas University graduates. They have little horns at key places on their letters. And I'm going to tell you, if you look at one, look at the Hebrew letters, and you see it, you're going to have good eyes and or a magnifying glass sometimes. Once you know it's there, you can see it. But boy, you can just look right at that thing and never see it. That is a tittle. Jesus said every letter in the alphabet has at least a tittle. And Jesus said, not a jot, nor a tittle. Now, how is it us Baptists are arguing? You know, in other words, Jesus, God promised to preserve His Word. We know that when Jesus got here, either He lied like a dog, or God had kept His promise. Not even a tittle had changed. Somehow now, all the Baptist preachers practically, and you Methodists, y'all gave up on it years before that, so don't laugh too hard. And you Presbyterians, you got too high church way before that. There's hardly a preacher in this town that believes that God has still preserved His Word. Now, isn't that amazing? He kept His promise to preserve it for 1,500 years, but in the last 2,000 years, well, I guess it must have been raising Jesus from the dead and Pentecost. It just whipped Him out, wore Him down. And we Baptists are arguing whether the originals were inerrant and infallible. Mine is inerrant and infallible. I don't care about the original. We haven't got that. I live now. Can I hold up this and say, this is the infallible Word of the living God, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Well, I can and I do. So, yes, glory. I'm getting excited. I got to watch. I'm going to keep you till midnight if I don't hurry. but you're safe back there on the back row. There is no window to fall out tonight. Verse 31. Look at verse 31. Genesis 49, 31. Quickly. If you read above it, verse 29. Speaking Moses is doing the talking. He charged them, said, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite. In the cave which is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham, and that incident in Mamre is the same thing as modern Hebron, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephraim the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah, i.e., my wife, not Rachel. Rachel wasn't buried there. Only the wives got buried there. In other words, in the burial, God showed He didn't recognize these second marriages. I mean, you say, well, how did the men do it and not die? Did you sin yesterday? Are you dead? They sinned. God said in Genesis right off the bat that two will become one flesh. Not four, five, six, seven, or eight. Okay, two. So all plural marriages were sin. And if you read the stories of the plural marriages, they had miserable home lives. Okay? Now listen to me. The point I'm making is, if you went back, look at the screen for time's sake. If you went back to Genesis 23 and began at verse 17, there you would see that Sarah died at the beginning of Genesis 23. And I might add, Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age is listed. No... A tradition began thereafter. Okay. Now listen to me carefully. If you'll pay careful attention, this won't be difficult. In this verse, the first problem is in verse 15 in Acts 7, it says, Jacob went down to Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and they were carried over to Sychem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for some of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. Do you see that? Now listen. They say, ha-ha, here is an error. Verse 15 and 16 say that Jacob was buried and Joseph, Jacob went down to Egypt and died, he and our fathers. The fathers would include his sons, in other words, the patriarchs. So see, it says that they were all buried here. But when you read in Genesis 33, we'll probably take a quick look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. That'll give us enough data to put it together. Joshua is not very far to the right of where you are, about 67 pages, page 265. Okay. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 32. Now remember, Joseph died in Egypt, and he made them promise, he prophesied, that God would come to them and visit them, and that the proof was, when he does, you will carry my bones out of Egypt and take them back into the land that God promised us and bury my bones there. Okay? And sure enough, in the book of Numbers, they did it. Now here, notice this. In verse 32 it says, now the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a plot of ground which Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. It became the heritage of the children of Joseph, i.e., Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay? So the first part of this problem is, they say, well, this, see, back here, it's you've got the people being buried in the wrong sepulcher, back in Acts. Okay? He says in verse 15 and 16, in other words, Genesis 23 speaks of Abraham purchasing a plot of ground near Hebron with a cave on it and a field from the sons of Heth, and it tells us that Ephron was a Hittite, and that's who Abraham bought it from, was from Ephron. All right? Well, we just read in Genesis 49 that sure enough, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah were buried there. But now they say, look, look, look. Here, you've got people being buried at the wrong place. You've got Jacob. Look, this they're saying, verse 15 and 16 are saying that Jacob was not buried here at Hebron, but was buried at Shechem. Okay? Now, we know Joseph's bones were buried there. When we go back and read the Genesis 33 account, Jacob does buy some land from Hamor, whose son was Shechem, the same Shechem that raped Jacob's daughter Dinah, and that then his sons, Levi and Simeon, tricked them, got them to circumcise themselves, and then they came back into town and killed them. Remember that? All right. Correct way to read it. It doesn't say Jacob is being buried there. Let's get the reading. It says, Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over to Shechem. Not Jacob, the fathers. Got it? This is not a contradiction. Just got to learn to read. Jacob isn't being carried to Shechem. Jacob was buried at Hebron, south of Jerusalem. Jordan River. Shechem is about 32 miles north of Jerusalem. So you can see the problem. In other words, we read in Genesis 49 that Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rachel and Jacob and Leah were buried in the cave that Abraham purchased here. But Joseph's bones were carried up to the plot of ground that when you read Genesis 33:19, it says Jacob bought it from these guys. Now, they try to blend the stories together. There's all kind of attempts to blend this thing that you can read in books. One bunch tries to put Emor and Shechem over in the Genesis 23 story and put them as Heth's offspring before Zohar, who is mentioned in Genesis 23 and Ephron. Okay? Yeah, but the problem with that, see, it's an impossibility, and I want to tell you why. If you put them in there, Sichem or Shechem, the guy that is the young prince that raped Dinah, is way too old for the story because Abraham made this purchase somewhere around 1859 B.C., but Jacob made his purchase from Hamor and Shechem in Genesis 33 over 100 years later. So there's at least 100 years between this story and this one. And believe it or not, when you do the chronology, little Dinah that got raped was maximum 15 and almost certainly only 12 or 13 years old. Over there, girls are fully done by that age. They develop very quickly. Point, there's no way a guy 100 years old is, daddy's still, you know, he's a prince and he's raping a 12 or 13 or 14 year old. The story just doesn't fit. Okay? Now, it doesn't fit for another reason. These guys at Hebron are called Hittites. But the guys Jacob purchased from are called Hivites in Genesis 34:2. And they are not the same. Okay? In other words, it's wondrous what you can do if you read. Now, listen to me. I'm trying to teach you something more important than what I'm teaching. Observe how to do it. You guys come across all these books and commentaries, and these guys have PhDs. They breathe, sleep, drink, and eat Greek and Hebrew. And you don't. And they say, and what are you going to do about it? First of all, you don't have to know the answer to stand in faith. Did you hear that? I've tried tonight to show you enough answers to show you that you don't have to, you know, that these guys are wrong. The correct solution is, now hear it. See, what we just read in Acts 7 says, Abraham brought this sepulcher, this place where we buried Joseph and the patriarchs. But Genesis says Jacob did it. It's really simple. First of all, Abraham and Jacob's lives overlap by 15 years. Got me? So the people, Ephron could have been a young man, let's say 30 years old, when old Abraham purchased that field from him and got the cave. So later, Abraham also goes up to Shechem, because he lived in a tent and moved around all over the land, and makes a purchase of land from Hamor, son Shechem. Time goes by, a lot of time. Jacob has left the land. He's been up with Uncle Laban for 20 years. And there's been wars. And see, look, what do you think about a piece of ground out in West Texas that someone bought 100 years ago and we hadn't seen hide nor tail of him since? Got me? You see what I'm getting at? Now you show up and tell me, I'm his boy. I've come for my land. We've got laws all over America. Look, you can have a piece of land and I put a fence across it. And if you don't get that fence removed within a few years, I get that land. You remember that? In other words, if you've got a fence at your backyard between you and your neighbor, you better be sure that it isn't 5 feet over, that he hadn't moved it in 5 feet on your land, because in a certain number of years, that land is his. Okay? So I'm telling you, what happened is when Jacob came back from Uncle Laban's, he came back to the land, same piece of ground. He knew it was his from Abraham's previous purchase. But it was a complicated thing. He'd been gone, so he had to rebuy the same land. In other words, all you got to do is believe the Bible. One place in the Bible says Abraham bought that parcel of ground. Another place says Joseph bought it 100 years later. I don't have any problem with that. Since I know, are you ready for this? Since by faith, I know the Bible doesn't have any errors. If it says Abraham bought that piece of ground in one place, and it says Jacob bought that piece of ground in another place, I know both of them bought the piece of ground. Moreover, may I be brutal, if the Bible says one place the horse was black and says another place the horse was white, it was a zebra. You know what I mean? In other words, the point is, are you going to believe God's word? Because if you don't,
I can show you scads of places like this. The point is, they can't be the same people. This cannot be talking about the same purchase. It's a different town. There are different people involved, different nationalities involved. Okay? All right. Now listen to me. Let me close with this thought. The most important thing, then, from tonight is threefold. First, God called on Abraham to just trust Him when he didn't have anything tangible. I call on you to trust Jesus, and you can't grab Him, taste Him, touch Him, smell Him, or see Him. God further put Him to the test, made it harder on Him, and prophesied that His seed would leave the land and they would be persecuted, and it would be 400 years before they got back in there. They'd sojourn. In other words, this land is your land, this land is my land, but 400 years, baby, and your people aren't going to have it. They are going to sojourn. Now, boy, if you believe that, here's a sharp knife. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Embarrassing that we think we are consecrated and committed in the new covenant. Now, I'm going to tell you some consecration. God to speak that to you and hand you a sharp knife. Second thing I want you to remember, that all these examples, He is showing that the charges against Him are false. Therefore, the ones against the Messiah were the same ones, and therefore they're false, and that they're guilty. And He's showing over and over with every person, Joseph wasn't recognized the first time. It was the second time. So the Messiah's coming back. Lastly, on these, quote, problem text, listen to me. Notice it takes work. You got to jump all over the Bible. You got to find those verses. One thing for me to holler them off to you. Now listen, I could have told you where every one of them were, but we'd be here another hour. We could have looked up every one of them and painstakingly did, because that's what I had to do. Okay? So I'm teaching you how to do it. It isn't just teaching you. I'm trying to encourage you that it doesn't matter how brutal something looks. The way you work things out like this is just like you were supposed to do back when you had math problems that were what we call verbal problems. Remember those problems in physics and chemistry and those candy problems? Now, Sally has 3 pounds of 20-cent candy and 4 pounds of 70-cent candy. How many pounds if she takes this? And you know, remember those. The secret to working them was you took your pencil. That's the first thing. If you just sit there with a book and say, golly, I don't know, you'll never get it. No, you've got to get a blank sheet of paper, and you've got to get a pencil, and you've got to start putting down, you've got to get the pencil moving. Write down what's given. You start drawing it, writing it down, labeling it. In other words, listen to me, we don't want to do that. We just want Holy Ghost revelation. But the Scriptures are clear in the book of Hebrews that God, listen to me, is a rewarder of those that diligently trust Him and seek. Now, in the meantime, you don't have to remember how to get them. You've seen it done. So if anyone comes up to you and tries to nail you, you can say, oh, I don't remember how, but I've seen that explained. So I know it's the truth. What if you hadn't seen it explained? Still true. What if you find one next week I can't do? It's still true. You hear what I say? The fact that I might not be smart enough or have revelation from God enough doesn't mean it isn't true. The Word of God, not one jot or tittle. Okay, now you stand on that. You stand on that.